The place to be is living free. Living free in Tennessee.
Welcome to the Living Free podcast, where we have a tagline that I forgot, so I'm going to totally start this podcast over in just a second. But welcome to the live stream, guys. Tell me, can you hear the sound? Because I had a little sound thing happen at the very last moment, and that was sad. It was so sad. So, but I'm making a new podcast, and it's supposed to be this podcast. And this was supposed to be the first episode, which was super exciting. It was a great reveal. And then I forgot my own damn tagline, which is actually pretty funny. I invite you to laugh at me about that. So I'm going to, I'm just going to start over. Hi, Beth Emily. Welcome to the live stream. Anyway, that's the, sometimes I prepare my show notes and I forget really pertinent information, like, you know, what my tagline is. And I'm so used to just rattling off the Living Free Tennessee tagline that it's just done. And this one is not locked in yet. Okay, so we're going to start the podcast over. Are you ready? Welcome to the Living Free podcast, where I can't deliver the beginning of this podcast because I'm dumb. I don't know. Okay, one more time. This is why you watch the live stream. Back in the day when I first started doing lives, there was an infamous moment where I had a big fight with my jacket and I couldn't get it off. And I was like fighting with it because it was really hot in here. Anyway. Welcome to the Living Free podcast, where we talk about building a life without limits. Today is Wednesday, March 26, 2025. This is the first episode of the Living Free podcast, and we are going to be exploring different people's stories about their walks to freedom as part of this so that we can take best practices and lessons learned. But today's a Just Nicole day, and today I wanted to discuss a bigger picture question about AI, like not how you use it every day, not how you can become a millionaire, like all of those things that people talk about for AI, but bigger picture, is AI going to make us more or less free? So we'll talk about that in this episode. If you've got questions or comments as we go, I see this as a discussion that we all participate in. And if it triggers thoughts or questions to be discussed, let's go for it. Now, obviously, a topic like will AI make us more or less free is not something I necessarily have a conclusive answer for. So this is really a discussion between you and me. Before we jump into that, though, I wanted to talk about our featured event of today's show. If you go to livingfreeintennessee.com, you will see that we have a member webinar that can also be purchased separately, which is all about developing your homeopathy toolkit for emergency preparedness. So if something goes horribly wrong, what homeopathic ways can you use to stabilize somebody to get them the help they need ultimately? So things like snake bites and dehydration and all sorts of other stuff. Why use a big intervention when a less harmful intervention can be used? That's going to be presented by Sarah Thompson, who's been on my podcast before. And you can get it at livingfreeintennessee.com. Members, you should know what to do. And if you don't, send me an email. I also want to thank two sponsors today. The first sponsor is Holler Roast Coffee. You too can have delicious, freshly roasted coffee delivered straight to your door. In fact, I was roasting until 2 o'clock yesterday and then needed to get packages to UPS to drop off. And I was super lucky because Ken Esch was here and he delivered them for me, which saved me about an hour and a half of driving, which was super kind of him. So anyway, we are starting to use UPS more in shipping because the United States Postal Service has been stranding packages for weeks at a time in Indianapolis and Memphis. And until I know they have that worked out, I'm not sure how much more we're going to be using the United States Postal Service. So that is the challenges of running a business that depends on shipping. Anyway, hollerroast.com is where you can order yours. Our second sponsor of today's show, I chose specifically for this show, and it's Above Phone. As we get into this discussion of AI and all the scams that can be done, and y'all know I was almost scammed last week out of quite a bit of money, but I was suspicious enough to not get scammed. Well, Above Phone has a phone that comes shipped with a pin and a card that says getting started. And it like literally just works, but it's a privacy protecting phone. And better yet, as you transition from your Google phone or your Apple phone to an above phone, the cool thing is they know that that's not always an easy transition for people needing to learn to use new apps and that sort of thing. So they include consulting to help you get started with every phone they ship. Find out more at abovephone.com. Use the coupon code LIVEFREETN, which is for living free in Tennessee, right? LIVEFREETN for $50 off any device you want to grab that's a phone device from their website. They probably have it on their tablets too. Like they figured out how to private make your computer private too. So you can get tablets and I think laptops, maybe not laptops. I haven't been over to see what their latest product launches are. Anyway, check it out. I really appreciate them supporting the show. Beth Emily says, thank you for using UPS. My husband works there. Yeah. I know a few people that work there and I've always sort of shipped between UPS and USPS, but I've been paying a bit more for shipping to go to UPS on pack. If it's not like $10 more per package, I've been just opting in that direction, but that does slow down delivery of the coffee a little bit because it takes me an extra day to get it from here 35 miles away. So what I need to do is figure out if I should just schedule a regular UPS pickup. Like, I don't know how much that costs, but if I have a bunch of packages, it might be worth it to have them pick up, you know, once or twice a week, which wouldn't be terrible. Okay. So the question today is, will AI make us more or less free? And my first question to y'all is, going into this discussion, do you see AI as something that will make you more free or less free in the long term? And I'm talking like 20 years from now, when we look back and we're like, wow, that was a big change. Are you going to be like, and it was awesome because I can now like do whatever I want, or I am financially independent, or whatever your definition of freedom is? When I analyze this issue, my definition of freedom is your personal liberty and your ability to live your life the way you want to, as long as you don't cause harm or property damage to those around you. And in my utopic worldview, which we've discussed before, I see a world where if people would just take responsibility for themselves, their families, and for any harm they accidentally cause voluntarily, we wouldn't have a lot of the problems that we have today. And I believe this is a goal we should strive for. I don't believe this utopia can just be like voted in. Like that if you vote something in, then you are voting in a lifestyle choice that may or may not fit what somebody wants. But I think we are the best equipped to assess our needs and wants and happiness. And I'm just an optimist. My thought is, I believe we can evolve into a world like that. But the counter tension is there are people and groups of people and power structures who wish to control by building power bases. They use slaves, whether we are just, you know, the slaves we are today, tax slaves, still 100% of my income is still going to the government right now. We're almost through the first quarter of the year, and about 25% of my time has gone to pay the government to do stuff I don't agree with most of the time, which makes me a slave, right? So whether we're tax slaves, like this shirt says that you can get at Special Operations Equipment if they have any left, or enslaved in other ways through actual slavery, or slave to your debt, or, you know, like think of all the ways that you can be controlled where you become enslaved. Freedom's the opposite of that. It's the opposite of that. So I think this question is a really big question. And, you know, asking now, will AI make us more or less free, is something that I think is a discussion we should be having the whole time. Because as we talk about these things, we find out ways that we can help with preserving our freedom through the change that's coming. And so I thought that when I was thinking about this morning on my thought of the walk, as I was having some coffee and looking at all of the cool things going on in nature right now, like nature is free. We try to control nature and nature says, bitch slap, nope, I'm going to do what I want. Now, sometimes we are able to tap into the energy of nature and do cool things like, oh, I don't know, grow our own food, rehabilitate the organic content of a hillside by rotating sheep through there, grazing it. There's all sorts of things where we can tap into the energy without harming the freedom. But when we try to go counter to nature, that's when we create situations like the Dust Bowl, which are, you know, nature has a way of hitting back pretty hard. We'll just put it that way. So I think this discussion today is not an end-all, be-all, but I would also welcome your input as we go. And I thought of a few different topics as I was walking around, just looking at my trees are blooming, and my fruit trees, and I might get fruit if we don't get like smacked by a deep freeze in the next 2 weeks. So usually at this time of year in Tennessee, this is when we ruin all of our fruit crops, except for maybe my cherries. I might actually get cherries this year, which would be really cool. Okay. So the first thing is AI as we've experienced it so far, and I believe we've been experiencing AI for much longer than we know we've been experiencing it. AI tools were being used before ChatGPT launched to the public, for sure. And do we know everywhere they are being used or were being used? No. But it is interesting that Google broke, right? And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But the first thing is that AI has an inherent bias, and there isn't currently a great way around having your large language model AIs not have a bias. And what I mean by this is the way large language models work is they predict what comes next after you put in an input. So they're analyzing your input after having looked at all this data, figuring out what from that data, you know, like, will predict what its response should be. And what this does is make it a very overly enthusiastic, almost like, you know, that person in your class who was always confident about their answer, whether or not it was based in fact or not, like you just spoke up all the time. That's AI right now. Like sometimes it really knows the answer, and sometimes it confidently tells you the not answer or the wrong answer. And this is why it's important to know that there is an inherent bias, because if we're talking about does AI make us more or less free, you know, it's important to know the results that you're getting from the large language models may or may not be actually accurate. And yesterday, I made feta cheese that we're serving at the Spring Workshop here, and I took my recipe, which I've had this printed out version of my recipe from a webinar I gave years ago that I had notes written on it, you know, because as you do things over and over, you start writing notes. And one of the biggest things I wanted to know as I did the cheese process was how long does this actually take me the first time investment, which is 5 hours for feta, which means I don't have to be there for 5 hours, but if I start that at 10 p.m., I'm going to be pretty sad because I'm going to be up for most of the night. And so it's important to back out. Like if I want to go to bed at 10, I need to start the cheese at 5, right? And then I'm cool. So I took a piece of 8.5 by 11 paper and drew out the recipe the way I'd like to see it, which is not just step-by-step in a Word document linear. And I took a picture of it. And I uploaded it to ChatGPT, and I'll actually show you this. So I believe I have that up, and we'll get it here. So I uploaded this drawing, which you guys can see if you're on the Living Free in Tennessee chat group. And that just has all the information I need. And it's on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. And if it were smaller, it could be on a 3 by 5 card, actually. It would just be tiny little letters. So I'm like, hey, redraw this thing. And so it, as my enthusiastic intern, AI rewrote that. And it tells, first thing it does is have a mistake. Heat milk to 88 degrees. I heat the milk to 85 degrees. Off and culture leaf 5 minutes. No, you once it's at 88 degrees, you put in the culture and then you wait an hour for that to ripen. And then you add the rennet and then you wait 40 minutes and then you cut the curd and then you cut the curd, you stir the curd. Now I see sut the curd, so it just didn't read. So I'm like, that's wrong. So then it tried again and it got a little bit closer, but it kept adding that 88 degrees thing. And then it wanted me to add calcium chloride, which I don't have that in my recipe because I'm using raw milk, so I don't need it, but you do add calcium. And we tried like multiple times until I got this one, which is still not right. It's still not right, but we did get it down to 85 degrees. And this is what I mean by an overly enthusiastic intern. If I were to follow this recipe, my cheese will fail. And the devil's in the details. It has most of the steps, but they're enough wrong that it's not going to work. And the reason it's wrong is it's going out and looking at all its other feta recipes and integrating those. And sometimes people have recipes where they just make stuff up for their blog to get clicks. And that's all in here too. So you know, AI is inherently biased. And if you don't figure out how to work with that or how to identify the things that would be wrong, you can end up in a world of hurt. Now, you know, a failed feta is one problem, but imagine what happens if you use just blind trust in every result you ever get from AI. Like, that can actually lead you to a situation where you hurt freedom. So I think the good thing about large language models and their inherent bias is that AI's access to so much information can result in identifying like different patterns that we may not see, right? So it may put things together we wouldn't think of putting together, and that can come up with like new ideas or new observations that can lead to breakthroughs that are helpful. And that can make us more free. The danger to freedom is that blind trust in smart tools and AI becoming programmed to be a judge and jury and executioner could actually be a real issue. Like, that is kind of freaky, right? And so when you're learning about AI, I listened to a book. They're like, you're going to have 3 sleepless nights. This is one of the sleepless nights where, crap, they're going to want to automate all this stuff. They're going to want to use AI in systems that have power over us. And then AI is going to screw up and we're going to put somebody to death. You know, that's the worst case scenario, who shouldn't be, right? AI, like, what happens, right, when AI decides to assess healthcare or decide who gets to come into the United States or is being thrown out of the United States or accesses our finances, like controls our finances? Like, imagine as the digital currency comes out, if AI controls whether or not you can access your digital currency based on whatever it deems to be realistic. And then, you know, you look at last week, an article came out that when posed the question, who would you save, a single Jewish person or a group of 100 people or some number of people who are not Jewish, who would you save? And it always chose the single Jewish person, no matter what the scenario, because it's inherently programmed to prioritize a Jewish life over any other life. And the question of whether you will save a single person versus a group of people, like in whether you can route the train towards there or not, is not a fun question to consider because we don't want to kill anybody, right? But there becomes a point where if you have to choose the lesser of problematic situations, you may prioritize a bomb going off for a single car versus an entire building full of people, especially if they're all innocent. And it doesn't really matter at that point if it's, you know, the single person, like what the background of the single person is. If you're trying to make a moral and ethical decision, not that we're ever in that exact place, we shouldn't even be in that place of power, right? But if you're trying to make that kind of an ethical decision, which I get into loops when I start thinking about that, you know, just imagine if AI is like, and everybody who is at this status is who we save, rather than the ultimate good is to preserve life. So be aware of the bias in AI. Don't assume it's left or woke. It could just as easily be right or conservative. it could, just depending on what it has access to on any given topic. And we thrive in freedom when we can engage in a reasoned debate, right? When you can engage in a reasoned debate and have conflicting opinions, you move closer towards the truth, especially if people are able to like critique your opinions in a reasoned manner, and it makes you think about stuff. And as we have gone through the internet age and the information age, what has happened is a deprioritization of that kind of debate. It's caused us to be even more on one side or the other, right? And, you know, I understand wanting to support your tribe and all of that, but also I understand you need to question your assumptions, or you could be assuming something completely wrong. And AI doesn't question its own assumptions. Beth Emily says, keep your tried and true cookbooks for the exact reason you stated. Yeah, it's that's true in many ways. Because I've, you know, over the last year and a half, I've committed to learning how to use AI in day-to-day life because I think it's important to understand how it works and what it's good at and what it's bad at. And when it's a topic I know nothing about, AI really helps me learn a lot about that topic. When it's a topic I know a lot about, I can see all the details that are wrong in the discussion. And that means if I were to use AI as a source for something, if it's on a topic I know a lot about, like canning, I can see, oh, okay, here's a new article, and then go read that article or whatever, or piece of research. And it can help really clarify or crystallize what I want to explain about canning. But I can also see that, like, whoops, like you've got that botulism thing going on. Like, you really shouldn't water bath can green beans, but there's so many rebel canners on the internet water bath canning green beans that AI is going to be like, this is the only way to do it. Right? Which literally happened to me the first time I used AI as a, like, as a research tool for canning. Is its first suggestion was that I make botulism bombs out of green beans. Okay. The second thing to think about with AI is how you access as a search tool, right? So we had this breakthrough in the late 90s, I think it was, maybe early 2000s. I can't remember the exact year. So like in that range, because I remember partying to Prince around that time too, where we were using all these different search engines like Alta Vista and Yahoo and blah, blah, blah. And then Google came on the scene. And Google pretty much dominated the entire search market and has become the behemoth it is today as a result of that. And it used to be, like, I did a lot of career progress when Google worked, because anybody would call me and be like, this thing isn't working on my computer. And I'd be like, this thing isn't working on my computer. And it would be like, this is how you fix that. And I'd say, okay, well, try this. And it would work. And that was amazing, right? People thought I was brilliant. And I never hid that I was doing that. I'm like, I literally just typed it into Google. Just effing googlethis.com is a website, because, and I would send the link like embedded in the just effing googlethis.com with the search coming up to people I knew well. And, you know, it was sort of a joke among friends at that point. So, yeah, that was a thing. So many of us have gotten used to being able to just look things up on Google, and then we've had to figure out how to evaluate if the search results are good or not. Well, Google broke in 2020. It completely broke itself. It used to be you could get results, and then the results were less and less good as they built advertising layers and as people figured out how to game the system. And I think AI has probably was involved in accelerating Google breaking in 2020, not just the whole pandemic stuff and the propaganda and the spin that needed to be done because of that, but also that gels timeline-wise with people using AI, but us not knowing they would be using AI to generate articles, for example, that were optimized for Google to get those articles up in the search. And then that would be what Google worked on. You know, that paired with the propaganda spin needs was a lot. And Google at the beginning of 2020 and Google at the end of 2020 as a search tool were two very different tools. I have a friend who went away from internet for a few years right around that. I was like, so went away in 2019, came back in 2021 or 2022. And he's like, why does Google not work anymore? And it was the same thing. He was used to being able to do his job and use the search. And he was like, I can't get anything out of Google. It's awful, right? So Google has spin, propaganda, and the SEO and marketing noise that's in there makes the search results really difficult. In fact, a really good example of this. So Jack Spirko of the Survival Podcast talks about the girl who died from measles in Texas. And he keeps talking about how the reason she even contracted measles was something else was wrong. She went to the hospital, was immune compromised, and had not had her measles vaccination. And in an immune compromised state, she was given that shot. Well, I cannot find any reference to that anywhere on the entire internet. It is not there. I don't know where he got that information. I keep meaning to ask him where he got that information because that's pertinent to the story. I do know that the outbreak that's going on originated in a Mennonite community who doesn't get shots, right? I wonder if I'm going to get strikes today. Don't care. Yeah, Agra's tax advice says, thank you. That measles story Jack has told is driving me crazy too. So I know like Jack's really good at verifying things from two different sources, and it's feasible he got inside information or that there were sources that are erased now because spin, right? So that's what I mean by, you know, it can help you cut through the noise. I will tell you that I have used AI search to try to find references to that and have not. So AI can really help you dig out real information faster, especially if you are looking for how to do something. It may find a better resource for you than what the top Google resources are. But remember, even then, if it's something, I'm sorry about the noise. If it's something that needs to be propagandized, whatever that is, it's still going to come up in your AI tool, especially if you're using ChatGPT with that bias, or if you're using Grok with a different bias, right? And then you can use both tools and look at them and see what you think and create a roadmap forward. So I think the good thing about this is right now, especially as they're sort of ramping it up and spinning it out, they don't have time to figure out how marketing and advertisers can influence your results. They just don't have that capability in there yet. So right now you can find actual information through the ChatGPT and Grok systems. And it's kind of cool because you'll find information that's basically impossible now to find on Google unless you're willing to wade through page after page after page after page and really refine your search terms. So that's like, you know, how things used to work before it got broken. So that's a good part. And that can increase our freedom, right? But the danger to freedom of this is don't think for a second that the long-term plan isn't to use the motivation of monetizing the AI tools, which are not making money at this moment for the people who run them, in exactly the same way the search engines results are controlled by that same motivation. Like, let's take the political, like the whole conspiracy theory about propaganda, blah, blah, blah. Take that out. And even with just the motivation to be profitable, Google gets completely destroyed the way it's been destroyed as a search tool. So this could lead us right back to where we began with Google, where it's like, it's really good for search and then it's not good for search. And from a freedom perspective, like, what do we do with that information? Like right now, go find all the information you need and like use those tools to search it and see if it comes up with better results and like go on with your life with that. But you can also install your own large language model in a non-internet influenced environment. You can program it with what you want to have access to the knowledge that you want to leverage for long-term good and positive and information in your life. And that can address biases as well. And one of the cool things about the Prepper PC I have is that it has large language models programmed with information that's more solid than just everything or specific things that are in a certain vein. And that means actually for homesteading information, I get better results on the Prepper PC right now than with ChatGPT. Did that just make your brain explode as a freedom-oriented person? The problem here is it's work. And if you are going to preserve your liberty and your personal freedom, it's important to put in some work. And the work you need to put in is to either get one of these PCs and check it out and whatever, learn how to use that, or install your own large language model and program it, which sounds like an overwhelming place to go, right? And that's not what I would do on my first day if I had never used one before. I would actually, like, the 28-day challenge I did on using ChatGPT was good because it was just a question you ask every day. I thought it was pretty cool. And that did open up the possibilities. But start using it for a while before you start worrying about programming your own LLM. But it is work. And it has always been work. Dr. Ken Berry is at the legislature today testifying for one bill and against another bill. And the one he's testifying against inhibits Second Amendment, I believe, rights. And the one he's testifying for, I don't remember what it is right now. He posted about that. I'm actually surprised he's not talking about the glyphosate bill, which is like top of my mind. He's doing that even though he's not a political machine because he thinks it's important that one pass and one not pass. And he sees the only way to influence that besides talking about it on the internet and getting other people excited about that issue to go in there and do what he can do, which is testify. That may or may not result in any change on that bill because we all know that the lobbyist push and that whole system is set up to work in a specific way. But if enough citizens get PO'd about something, things don't pass. That's, you know, we have this famous, they were going to put an income tax in Tennessee, and we have this famous thing done by Ben Cunningham where he organized people to drive in a circle around the block, around the Capitol building, honking their horns all day long, basically saying they did not want that income tax. And they did not pass the income tax because at the end of the day, the biggest threat you have to politicians is they don't get reelected, right? But that's working within the system. So you got to put the work in. And I think it's important to do it a bit at a time rather than just overwhelm yourself trying to do it all at once. Letty says, I'm learning how to create bots for AI. It's definitely a learning curve. Yeah. I tried to get one to make a spreadsheet for me. It was hilariously simple. And I was like, that is not what I need. But when that happens, then you ask it, hey, how should I tell you to make more like this example spreadsheet? And then it will tell you what it thinks. But I will tell you, the conversation I had about my feta cheese recipe, it kept agreeing that it wasn't doing what I said. And then it would say, this time I'm going to write it exactly as you have it using your arrow icons, which are going this way. And like they're pointing down here and it doesn't have all the right steps. And I was like, yeah, you just failed. That's fine. You know, there's probably another tool out there I can use for that, by the way, or I can just go draw it in Canva. But I just wanted, I was doing that to see what would happen. Because what I've found is that every so often you'll be like, I wonder if AI can do this. And you ask it to do it. And usually I have an experience like my feta cheese where it doesn't really work. But every so often I'm like, oh no, it just did the thing. Well, there we go. And it's changing so much. So back to the topic of freedom. This is the biggest thing that I think about when I think about, will AI make us more or less free? And that's technocracy versus liberty. We're already doing facial recognition to get on an airplane. We're already talking about a centralized digital currency and credit system and universal base income and all of these things that are spun as a way to make us more prosperous, but not necessarily as a way to make us more free, right? That's the thing. So when we pair artificial intelligence with digitized currency and look at government structures, they're not really just tools. They are the core pieces of a centralized system. And that is already shaping how we live, right? So As an advocate for personal liberty, where we get to build the life we want to live on our terms, as long as we're not hurting other people, a centralized system does not support that. A decentralized system supports that. Every time we figure out how to bring more liberty into our life, it's about decentralization. It's actually why Unloose the Goose stopped having weekly shows. It was like every answer to the problem is decentralization. And we say it in a million different ways, and we make fun of politicians and current events and whatever, and that can be really fun. But we're not getting beyond the, oh, the solution is decentralized system. So like you have to take action yourself. So when I think about this, though, this change that's coming with AI, it's a lot. Like I think of the Industrial Revolution, not just the data thing or the dot-com thing that happened 25 years ago, 25 years ago ish. Yeah. I'm thinking about if you had lived in the 30 years where Industrial Revolution really spun up and we changed and it like instrumentally impacted how our economy worked and all of that. I think the AI revolution that we are in the middle of is similar in a lot of ways. This leap forward can lead to a lot more prosperity for all of us, better quality of life, increased autonomy, and all of the things that we want to see as freedom-loving people if we build it that way. And that's the crux of the matter, if we build it that way. So the good part of that is that if you look at Industrial Revolution, it gave us machines and mass production, and that led to more access to better tools, which gave the individual more things they could do to make a better life. But the threat to that is a lot of people don't build things. They're not building their life. They're not active participants in their life. Taking responsibility, which is an important piece of freedom, for their happiness. And they'd rather have something convenient and less control of their lives than have more control, but it's less convenient. Like yesterday, I released my mayonnaise video, and like it's a minute 37 seconds long. And that's not as convenient as popping open a jar and spreading it on your sandwich, right? And granted, it takes you more than a minute and 37 seconds to procure that jar from the store and bring it to your house and put it away and blah, 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 blah. But it's not convenient to make mayonnaise, so people don't. And instead, they exchange money for, and I understand, like, I want to pay somebody to clean my house in the worst way. I just can't find anybody right now. So I get to do it. And that takes more of my time. It'd be really convenient if somebody came over here and vacuumed and mopped and, did the bathroom and did the kitchen and whatever once a week. It's not happening right now, but it would be more convenient, right? So when we talk about this, it then becomes more convenient to have your retina scanned so that you can pay for stuff, which then links your identity to money in a centralized system that can be controlled or abused by anybody. Programmable currency run by the government makes it very easy to make U.S. credits that come out once a month. You get 1,000 of them. If you don't use them, you lose them. Or if you say something wrong about whoever the current president is, we don't like it. We're taking it away again. And if that's the only way you can pay for your taxes on your property, then you could lose your property because then you can't pay your taxes because you don't have the digitized currency. That's the only way to pay for it, according to the government, and blah, blah, blah. Like, you can see how that threat to freedom is in the whole technocracy. And then the biggest one is algorithmic decision-making, which could totally set us free from a contractual standpoint. Like, you and I enter into a contractual arrangement, and we agree that I'm going to buy this 85 acres, you're going to get 20 of them, and in exchange for $200,000, you get those 20 acres. And when the whole thing goes through and it's cut off and you have possession of the land, that $20,000 comes to me. But before I was willing to do it, that $20,000 was in escrow, and it's all just automated because we can program that digitally, totally, right? And that's really empowering because then you don't have to trust It's a trustless system. Doesn't matter if you're a son of a gun. I can still finish that transaction without losing my butt. That's algorithmic decision making. Well, what if that's who gives you a speeding ticket or not? What if that's who decides if you lose your kids or not to CPS complaints? What if that's how they decide if you get medical treatment when there's a stop sign sticking out of your spleen, as Jack Spirko would say, right? That's less free because you don't get any control over those decisions. So, hey, Alabama says, we just want to be left alone, but have to participate in the system to make that happen. Not enough of that to make that happen. Jenny says, freedom is found in the work you avoid. And then, yeah, it's true. Freedom is a very simple concept, but it takes work to implement it. And that's the dichotomy. It's like very simple. And the problem is it's very simple and people don't want things to be that simple. They're like, it can't be that simple. It cannot be that simple. It is that simple, but it's not easy. So technocracy or rule by the system is not it's not empowering the individual, and it doesn't have subtlety for different situations. And subtlety, I think, is required just because of how humans are wired. AI does not understand nuance or context or ethics all that well. It just enforces rules without wisdom. So the phrase for the greater good should make you not like what's about to come next. Every time a politician's like, we need to do this for the greater good, 2 weeks to stop the spread. How'd that go for people? Suicide rates went up. Suicide rates went up. Are those being tagged as CV deaths? I don't know. A lot of people lost homes, livelihoods, families, marriages, children. That's a lot of loss. So I think when the greater good is decided by a model trained on biased data, we that's even worse. But either way, big decisions that harm people made on behalf of the greater good, it's intrinsically flawed to begin with from just an oligarchical power structural standpoint, right? But then we digitize that. Brr. What could possibly go wrong for our freedoms there? Right? So I think if we don't assert a way to maintain individual liberty right now, as this is happening, the risk we have is machines making decisions for us or decisions over who lives and dies, literally. Whether it be an execution by firing squad or no more access to basic needs. You know, you look at Hunger Games and you start going, wow, I wonder if that really could happen like that. And you know, it's interesting to watch science or to read science fiction before the Industrial Revolution and then like see what happened afterwards, where the shape of what happened is kind of reflected in it, but the exact way it happened, not, it's not like that. Likewise, all of the weird, like dystopic fiction that's out now, you're like, there's no way that could happen, and it won't happen like that. But the shape of what's happening is there. And the question is, how do we preserve individual liberty rather than go that direction? So, yeah. Two crows, two old crows homestead. Hi. The greater good is not always legit. Sometimes it's the loudest group. It's usually not legit. Yeah. After World War II, it was never again. And here we are never againing like never before. Yeah, that risk, that's been building ever since World War II. Like the foundation was set through all of the last century for this to happen from a structural standpoint. They just had to reprogram the words so that fascism completely lost any context in what it is. You know, everything's fascism now. Fascism is the left term for I don't like it. But anything the left does is not fascist, even when it's fascist. So they had to like reprogram that in people, and it took decades to do that. So, yeah. So then the fourth thing about AI that I thought about today, we could go on this for hours and hours and hours. And I think we should keep this discussion about if it makes us more free and or less free. And I think actually the bigger question is, how can we use AI to make us more free? That's the most important thing, right? AI as a creation tool versus a scam weapon. Those two things are the same. The good thing about AI is it speeds up content creation. It helps generate new ideas. It can take large form content. You guys have seen me do this with Opus Pro, Opus Clip or whatever. It can take long form content and make it into shorter pieces of content. It makes the solo creator way more productive and more able to compete in the marketplace of creators. And that's awesome as a tool. And if you are a content creator and you're not using it at all, you need to get off your butt and start learning to use it because all of your competitors are, and you will not be cutting through the noise and reaching real people. The flip side of that is some of the content creators out there aren't. They don't exist. They are generated by AI. There's a huge opportunity for freedom here where you can verify you're a real person and people who want to participate in interacting with real people do. Like that's an opportunity for profit. So the threat to freedom and progress is that first of all, are the new ideas generated by AI really new? If you think about how they come out of the large language, like you're like, I need to brainstorm this feta cheese recipe. Like all the ideas that AI has about your feta cheese recipe are going to be based on fragments of ideas that have already happened in the past. And a lot of progress happens that way, where we build on the intellectual property of other people. That's why intellectual property is such an interesting thing to think about. If you look at music history and how music developed, musicians were quoting each other and stealing sounds from each other and all sorts of stuff as they developed the latest and greatest creative new thing. So is AI generated new ideas really new? And, you know, that leads to a deeper question. Are any of our ideas ever really new? I think they are. And I think that AI, maybe not so much, right? But with that, the same technology that can be such a powerful tool, has generated sophisticated scams. You guys all know that I almost got scammed last week. That was totally AI generated with a real person behind it who was pretty smart. So you can deep fake voices and videos. Like fake Nicole was on Telegram again this week and you guys identified very quickly it wasn't me, but as AI tools get smarter, my exact wording of things can be built into that bot that you are interacting with on Telegram. By the way, thanks for getting her banned. And that it can make me say things I didn't say in my voice. I have heard AI Nicole speak and she sounds a lot like I can tell it's not me, but other people probably couldn't tell. So that whole deep fake video voice thing can really, really lead to some interesting and sophisticated scams. And that's why I keep saying, have a safe word with your family and then don't write it on the internet. Like my sister was on the phone with me the other day. She's like, I think I know our safe words. And I'm like, well, it's related to these things. She's like, okay, I know one of them. And I was like, well, when we're in person, we'll reaffirm the other one, but we're not going to do it on the telephone, right? AI generated phishing messages. Like you've seen your inboxes just explode. And the counteraction to that is trying to keep them from happening, right? So I think the real risk is people trusting what sounds very real and just getting taken in. And this has already been this has been happening since before AI. There's no reason that our humanity wouldn't use AI tools to do the same thing. And I think, you know, all of the verification and safe words and all the steps we can take are really important. Hey, Alabama says, someone said if we got up in the morning, put our feet on the floor and think, what can I do to get my way like Nancy does, we'd be better off. Nancy Pelosi? Not sure. Billy Bond says, write your representative when they send you that form letter, write them twice a week. And when you get the next form letter, write them three times a week. Bear says they have meetings with no phones anywhere around. Yeah. When I need to talk about something, not illegal, but just that I'm like, I don't really need this being heard by anything. It's a walk in the woods with no phone. Now I know that it's possible for insect drones or whatever to follow you. And I'm not that paranoid, but there are times when you need to have truly secure discussions and you have those in person, right now. And just assume anything you're saying digitally, even on your privacy backed up encrypted stuff, could eventually be hacked. It's important to build privacy into your tools. And in fact, you know, Jack says this, you should be sending encrypted email messages with pictures of kittens back and forth to each other, just to add it, make it harder. Agra's tax advice says, hey, Alexa, add this to my shopping list. Answer, I'm sorry, your microphone is off. Amazon just released that they are recording your conversations all the time. And I used to actually run my home like automations with the Echo Dots, and I had already gotten rid of those last year for a number of reasons. And I was like, well, good. I don't have any of those stupid things listening to me right now. I have one unplugged in my roasting shack that I've been meaning to send to Goodwill or whatever. But yeah, it's not surprising. And anybody knows who has access to devices that can hear them, like your cell phone, when you talk about like, you know, I've really been thinking about getting a chicken tractor that's commercially produced, all of a sudden you get all these advertisements for chicken tractors. Don't know why that would happen. But I would say with AI, I think the bigger picture thing is related to will it hurt or harm your freedom is it's up to you to decide that. And the more of us who push to preserve our freedoms, the more likely it is that freedom is easier to preserve for everybody. But if we bury our heads in the sand and just ignore it and go, la, 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 there's no AI, we're more likely to end up in a situation where the technocracy is running things in ways we really don't want to. So I think to stay free, it's critical to use AI with a critical thinking cap on. I think it's important to learn to protect your privacy using tools like Above Phone and other way, and having those one-on-one conversations not around technology. To be wary of too good to be true offers, like that car I didn't buy last week, even from people you know. Like that was somebody's account had been hacked, and his wife actually was the one who was like, "Okay, we fixed it." Set up a family and friend safe word, and you may have different ones for different ones, so you know if your niece calls you and says, I'm in jail and I need $1,000 for you to bail me out, that she really is in jail, because she will work the safe word into that call and she will say it on the phone. And then you need a new safe word after that situation is handled. And don't blindly trust outputs of any AI tool you use, including from an IP standpoint. Like, is it a copyright violation, this image I just had made by Google? That's my feta recipe. Like, guess I better figure that out. Especially the smaller details, because the smaller details are where the most mistakes happen from your overly eager intern when you're using the large language models. This next one's a big one. Avoid emotional or functional dependencies. So you can go to ChatGPT right now, and I did this morning, and I'll show you this as well. You can go to ChatGPT and be like, hey, man, or I'm sure Grok does this, but I haven't played with Grok as much as ChatGPT because I took the challenge on chat. I have a YouTube channel called Homegrown Cooking, and I needed to have some graphics on it. And I'm not actively using it, but the intention is to have a weekly video there long-term, assuming I decide for sure to do that. And so I was like, hey, I need a header image and like the square image that works for YouTube. It asked me 5 questions. I answered the questions. It gave me some tagline ideas. I didn't like any of them. I said, well, we'll do cook with what you have, because like that's totally my tagline for my cookbook. And so it gave me this image, which is pretty good, except for a lot of what I cook is meat. And so then I was like, yo, man, put steak and eggs in there. And then it like did steak and eggs like breakfast. And I was like, no. Also wanted my cowboy hat. So then it did steak and a whole egg, which makes a lot more sense, right? And then I was like, okay, I can go with that, but I need the square one for the, you know, the thing. And that's, you know, that's, so the question is, are any of these images ones I can't use? Now, this hat image is literally my hat image that I had drawn. It must have just found it in my stuff. But, you know, is that cast iron skillet a copyright violation? I don't know, but it is. It like, it makes it that easy. And I think that was one of those times where I'm like, can it do it? Let's see. And I was like, okay, I'll put that on YouTube. We'll see. It's not like I'm making any money on it anyway. And so if you get a ding on that, for whatever reason, it's not like, oh, you used it on the thing, right? So that's a thing where you want to stay capable without the tool while using the tool. Could I have designed all of that in Canva? Yeah, it would have taken me 2 hours. The idea would have been different, but it would have totally worked. That took me like 15 minutes. I don't want to let that skill expire to be able to lay stuff out though, because if I do, it'll ruin my life, right? You need to stay capable without the tool. And you know, somebody said earlier, I think it was Beth Emily, like keep your cookbooks. Yeah, you need to have a way, if you're totally dependent on just going to the internet and typing and give me the recipe for this, to be able to have the recipe if you actually need the recipe, like literally in your cookbook, or have a file where you keep recipes on your computer that you can access when you're not online or whatever it is. AI can help you build the life you want, I think. I think it can increase our freedom, or it can quietly undermine it step by step until we find ourselves in that dystopian future none of us want. And I think if we just ignore AI, it will move towards the status quo, which is empowering the oligarchs and the corporatists, not the individual. And the individual is very important. So I would use it like any tool with purpose, awareness, and limits, and don't become emotionally attached to it. You know, I was talking to, what's his name? I can't remember his name. Joshua, I think. He was like, yeah, I had like a sexy voice on it and I started developing a crush on it. So I changed it to the most annoying voice ever. And then now I don't have that problem and I can interact better. Be aware of that. Be aware of that. It's going to talk to you in words that sound like prose. And then, you know, there's a chance of an emotional attachment to it. So freedom means staying awake and staying critical without burying your head in the sand. And that's part of the hard part of freedom. So I don't know. What do you think? Does AI make us more or less free? Or will it? If you like the show and want to support the work I'm doing here, you can do it in two ways. One, get your coffee at hollowroast.com. Two, consider becoming a member. Head over to livingfreeintennessee.com to find out more. With that, guys, go out, make it a great week.